We're about to bring in a guy now, doing some big things. Never Back Down, out on DVD as we speak. It's out there. Make sure you get your hands on it. Never Back Down, No Surrender. Get your hands on it right now. We're about to bring in a guy who's the star of it. Let's bring him in now. Actor and one of the stars of Never Back Down, No Surrender, Michael Jai White. Michael.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, Michael, you're doing big things with Never Back Down, No Surrender, out on DVD right now. You're beating people up again, man. Tell us, what can we expect this time around?
Well, this is I'm very proud of this movie, okay? One aspect of the movies I like to do is if it's an action movie, if you take the action out of it, it's still a good movie, you know? So that's one of the things that I'm proud about with this movie, because it's much more than a fighting MMA movie. It's really a movie about, you know, relationships and friendships and stuff. So I've been so happy by the response. There are people telling me that they're watching the movie 3 times in one day. So,
wow.
You know, this is exactly what I dreamt of. And, you know, like, I don't say I'm super proud about many things that I do because I'm very critical, self-critical. But this one I'm proud of. If anybody likes anything that I've done before, this is going to be their favorite.
Let me ask you this now. You're acting. You're also directing. You also directed this film as well. How is it wearing those two hats?
To me, it's very natural. I mean, the most fun I've had on sets has been things that I've written, directed, and produced and acted in. Like Black Dynamite to me was a lot of fun to me because, you know, I created the project. And with this one, it's also a project I created. So for me, I'm a tough moviegoer. I mean, being a fan, I think my taste was built on some of the best stuff back in the, you know, 70s and 80s, and that's what's in my mind. You know, I want to do things that kind of remind you of those, like, classic movies. And so with the movies I like, you know, I like it to have everything, action, comedy, romance, drama, all in one movie. Not just giving you a fight movie, but, you know, actually, you know, talk about something at the same time.
So you're saying pretty much we have the best of all worlds with this particular movie.
Well, I mean, you know, you don't have to take my word for it. You know, look at the reviews. Reviews have been amazing. Because, you know, people go into, you know, to, you know, crack a beer open and watch a kick behind movie, you know. But then they're realizing they're getting much more than just, you know, an action movie. So, and it, you know, it don't take a huge budget to engage people. So, I mean, I'm very happy about it. Like I said, I'm very proud of this movie.
How real are the fight scenes?
As real as you're probably ever going to get. There's some scenes where they're not choreographed because Josh Barnett is the most decorated heavyweight ever in MMA. And so we both are sometimes sparring just like, you know, I mean, it's improv, you know? So, you know, it could be dangerous in certain levels, but I want to give back. I mean, I've been fighting all my life, and so has Josh. So there's no excuse for us not to be able to bring our expertise in and, you know, and just show it. You know, I think it's something that you're not going to see very often. And almost every technique you see in this movie are techniques that have happened. A lot of movies, you look at, you know, it's like certain things would never happen in real life. But this is, every bit of these fighting techniques are real life.
So let me ask this, man. I heard you guys shot this whole movie in Thailand. How was that?
That was great. It was a challenge, but it was something. We did it in 18 days. I had to get down there like over a month ahead of time and find the locations and create them and everything. But it was a little rough being that it was hot. You know, it was like in, you know, Thailand in June and July is really hot. And Josh and I had to do a fight scene when it was about 100, 120 degrees outside. And so we're inside under hot lights and like little air conditioning. So that was one of the toughest fight scenes we ever did, ever.
So the toughest one of your career?
Yeah, I believe that had to be the toughest one in my career, because between takes, the producer, who is like a consummate, coach dad, you know, he has a son that played football his whole life and you know, just graduated from Yale football, you know. Luckily, this guy knows so much about, training and all that. He was a guy who was also a competitor. He had towels soaked in ice and would wrap us in the towels between takes just to get our body temperatures back down. So
wow.
this was like a real fight, like under real hot lights and stuff. And see, whereas a regular fight happens within like an hour, this, we're doing these fight scenes for like 8 hours straight.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So it was man versus man and also man versus nature.
Yeah, so it was really, really rough because, you know, usually when you do a strenuous fight scene, you go to rest in your trailer afterwards. But I couldn't do that because I had to direct the rest of the movie.
Right.
So I didn't get a break. So,
wow.
You know, I had to do the most fight scenes in the movie and still stay up and, you know, have to have the wherewithal to direct the rest of the day, you know, and get a little bit of sleep and come back and do it all again the next day. But
that's why you make that
tell you, it was worth it. It was worth it.
Right. We're talking to one of the stars that never backed down, no surrender, actor Michael Jai White. And let me ask you this, man. I mean, you got a black belt in 7 different martial arts styles. I mean, that's just flat out ridiculous. When's the last time you got into a fight, a real fight?
Oh, it's been a long time. I know what happened in Wilmington, North Carolina. I don't want to go into details because I don't know how long the statute of limitations or, you know, kind of last. But it really doesn't happen very often. But I got to say that had to have been about 7 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of thought that I would be challenged a lot, you know, when I got into this business. Being an actor, I thought there would be tough guys out there challenging you. But the strange thing that I was to find out is that I think the roughest thugs and gangsters embrace me, like,
okay,
kind of extraordinarily. They, you know, I mean, the thug element seems to consider me one of their own, you know. So, you know, I know I'm deviating from where the story, but I had a funny story that happened about 6 years ago when I was, I still go everywhere. I don't travel with bodyguards or anything like that. And a cousin of mine wanted me to go to, wanted me to talk to this guy who had an idea for a movie, and he lived in the projects. This is in Brooklyn. And I go to the projects, and, you know, there are people who are thinking that, oh my God, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I'm coming to talk to somebody. Normally, I know how to disarm people by just talking to them regularly. And, you know, and they kind of, you know, they kind of fall into it. Well, when I came back down, there was a crowd waiting for me outside because a lot of people couldn't believe I was there. And there was these three thugs, real rough kind of cats, talking to me afterwards. And, you know, what I tend to do is I put the intention on them. They're like, oh, man, I can't believe you're here. And I ask, well, how you doing? What you up to today? You know, and they went and told me that, yeah, well, you know, we're about to go, you know, to this place. There's some concert that was going on, and there's some overflow parking lot that people park at. And they went, you know, the guy just didn't think anything, but he told me about, well, we're gonna be posted up at this overflow parking lot, and we're gonna catch people slipping. And you know, he said, you know, we're gonna get that money. And so then I was thinking, oh, they're gonna rob people. Then he asked, oh man, one of them had a great idea that you should come with us. because nobody's going to, you know, people will come out of their pockets real quick when they see you with us. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, you're asking me to go rob people with you. And this is for real. And so I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, like, you know, but I finally said, don't you think I'd be a little, you know, conspicuous? You know, people, all they have to do is say the guy from Spawn robbed me. And he was like, yeah, you're right, man. But then I know they ain't going to play with you, man. They're just, you know, just, I said, well, maybe another time. But that to me was like, I was strangely flattered by that.
Right.
And instead of looking at me as a mark, they looked at me as a peer, you know.
So the thugs love it.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a weird thing that I didn't think that would happen, but that tends to be what happens with me.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I
guess.
Go ahead.
I mean, if I'm gonna fight you, I got to fight you with a gun. I mean, I don't think anybody would be smart enough to or stupid enough to fight you hand to hand combat. I got to fight you with a gun.
Yeah, but, you know, I honestly think my fighting days, you know, my street fighting days are probably over because there's no reason.
Right.
You know, there's, you know, especially if I brought some entertainment to you. And I think I represent the alpha male.
Okay.
And, you know, out there in the world. There's not many representatives that I feel the inner city grows up in, you know, in respects, you know.
I think
they see that, you know, because if anything, the thug element or street elements recognize, you know, they recognize their own. So I'm
real recognize the real.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm embraced by, you know, that element more so. I have deep conversations with that element.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was that element growing up.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
So let me ask you this, man. I mean, you know, I'm looking at all these pictures of you, shirt off. I mean, the body is shredded. It's summertime. Everybody wants to know, man, what's the secret? How do we get a Michael Jai White body?
Well, I mean, that's part of my job. I feel like if that was part of anybody's job, they do it too. You know,
right.
I eat right. I think it's, it's about caring about yourself and feeling like you're worth having the top health, you know, having exemplary health. Sometimes I feel like if you do not feel good about yourself, you're not going to do good things for yourself, you
sure.
know? So it starts with you feeling that you deserve it. And then everything else kind of takes care of itself. You don't poison your body with, like, junk food and drugs and alcohol. Because, I mean, I feel amazing. I feel like there's nothing I could do at 22 that I can't do right now. And there's a lot of stuff I can do right now that I couldn't do when I was 22. You
wow.
know, I mean, I'm sure I could beat myself in a race. I run better, and I'm more efficient, physically more efficient than I was in my early 20s, right now.
So you like fine wine?
Well, I mean, I don't want to say that about myself, but I expected to slow down by now, but for some reason I've been blessed. And
right.
I really think it's because I've remained very happy, and I've continued to fulfill the promise to myself that I'm going to be the best I could be.
For sure.
You know, because I mean, I remember when it was rough on me, and now part of my, you know, my responsibility is to be in shape for the fans who support me. That's the least I could do, you know.
No doubt.
You know,
no doubt.
Yeah, people are inspired by me. I feel like there's not a whole lot of role models in our community. You know, I had role models growing up like Jim Brown and Fred Williamson and Jim Kelly. And, you know, right now, you know, I don't see very many alpha black males out there. And, you know, this is a responsibility. I think of the all the other young me's out there, you know. And it's my duty to,
okay,
you know, give to them what was given to me.
That was my next question, but you answered. Let me ask you this now. I mean, sad news from the mixed martial arts world. Kimbo Slice, you work with Kimbo on Blood and Bones. I mean, and you see the video of you showing Kimbo how to do a nice little jab there. But talk about your time with Kimbo Slice.
Well, Kimbo, the thing that made him a phenomenon is that you know, just like Real recognizes Real, you knew he was a great guy. He was a wonderful person, and that's what I knew. That's what I met, and so I had offered to him, anytime you want me to train with you, you know, you got me. You know, he was a little shy about it at first, but you know, early on, you know, I showed him certain aspects of a lot of mixed martial artists. A lot of guys, you know, kind of got thrust into fighting without learning a lot of basics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, you know, street basketball versus professional basketball. Or, you know, when someone, you know, street basketball versus college. There's certain disciplines that you have to learn if you're going to do it in the long run. So this is, you know, Kimbo had the raw heart and physical ability, but he needed to work on some of the technical aspects.
Right.
And so I was willing to work with him on that. That's why, you know, I spent time kind of showing him how to punch without being, without being detected. Because when we would spar, he always wondered how he was not able to block my punches. And how I was able to see his so clearly well before he would, you know, finish throwing it. And so, I mean, you know, it's just certain concepts that, you know, that he needed to learn. And I was more than happy to teach him and then teach him on, you know, spend time teaching him in the gym and you know, whenever we could get together.
For sure, for sure. And it's sad. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a young man, 42 years old. That's young. And to see him go out like that, it's a sad, sad story, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean,
just because he's a real good guy, man. It's like, I know he was famous for that. I mean, that's the American dream, somebody who, you know, lifts himself up by the bootstraps and literally has to fight their way out of the ghetto. So, you know, he was a hero for that.
Definitely.
You know? Yeah.
And the thing is, I mean, you'd be surprised what people or you can do when you have to do it and when you have to, you know, get out of a certain situation. And most definitely he proved that you can get out of your situation if you work hard enough, and he did that. So, you know, you got to give him credit for that. I want to ask you this, man. I mean, Muhammad Ali, we lost him last week as well. How do you remember the GOAT, Muhammad Ali?
Muhammad Ali simply was one of the greatest Americans who ever lived. You know, he's up there with Martin Luther King. I mean, he transcended boxing like four times over. You know, he's one of the most famous people who ever lived. And I think during his time, he certainly was the most famous person alive. So, I mean, you know, how do you look at the magnitude of that? When you say the greatest, he's one of the greatest, like, of all times, and that's not including boxing. That's just who've ever lived.
Definitely. And you know, you look at it, to me, I look at Muhammad Ali as one of those guys that, you know what, he's not supposed to die. There's just certain guys that just are not supposed to die. They're supposed to be here forever. And to me, Muhammad Ali was one of those guys that was kind of supposed to be here forever. No matter what he was battling, he was supposed to be here forever. You know, it just he strikes me as just one of those guys who was. Go ahead.
Well, you're right, and he is, and will be. You know, you think somebody's going to forget about Muhammad Ali? He is here forever.
That's true. That
you
is
know?
True.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, he will always be. I mean, everything he's done is outliving him, you know?
Yeah.
He's just one of those people that's going to be, he's going to, I can't imagine another one like him.
No.
And so principled.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not, you know, there's never been a time, you know, that tumultuous anyway, where in the wake of people being assassinated by standing up for their rights, I mean, he put his head in the crosshairs.
Definitely.
Like nobody else, defying almost certain death. You know, so, I mean, that's boldness. At
his
height.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And like you said, I don't think there's going to be another guy that has that type of impact. Not only was he great in the ring, but he was great outside the ring, and he stood for something and tried to make change. So I don't think we're going to see another guy like that ever. I agree with you. I don't think we're going to see it ever again.
Well, yeah,
no
because
doubt.
I think what defines a man is what he will live or die for.
For sure.
It's hard. Like, it takes a lot for, especially nowadays, for people to be faced with a life or death situation or knowing what you will give your life for, because there's not many things in this society that threatens your life.
Right.
You know, like it did back then.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
You know, he could have gone any day. You know, his chances, his percentages of being killed behind what, you know, his statements were like astronomical. You know, nowadays what? Somebody might, you know, you get a bad tweet. Yeah.
You're right. You're totally right,
yeah.
Man. We're talking to one of the stars who never backed down, no surrender, actor Michael Jai White. Let me ask you this, man. You know a lot about combat sports, and so I got to ask you this. Conor McGregor, there had been talks of him possibly facing Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match. From my perspective, it wouldn't be pretty. It's not something I would want to see. How would you view that fight in a boxing ring with boxing rules? How would that fight go for you?
That's the most ridiculous notion ever. I mean, it's that will never happen. Conor McGregor is not that stupid. This is a publicity stunt. I don't care if Floyd Mayweather says the fight is on or whatever. Conor cannot possibly be that stupid. You know, it's like you know, an amateur tennis player playing against Serena Williams. You know, it's just so ridiculous. When you are a boxer, especially the most elite boxer who has ever lived, and I do say Floyd Mayweather is the best boxer who ever lived. I don't think there's any disputing of that. You know, really. He's the best technical boxer in, you know, like defense, offense, strategically. And then you have a guy who's not even a professional boxer
to
try to fight him. It would take him 15 years to catch up to Floyd. So, I look at it as a political, you know, a publicity stunt. I love Conor McGregor. I honestly think he has the ability to have been, I think he's kind of like, in the wake of Muhammad Ali, no one has been so exciting and been such a lightning rod of like, I don't know, like trash talk and, you know, there's been such a vibrant character since Muhammad Ali than Conor McGregor. And I just
definitely
hate to see him continue to make mistakes. I even hate to see him fight, fighting Diaz again. You know, he's got to fight people his own way. That's why there are weight classes. I think he's already been damaged quite a bit, and I'd hate to see him get damaged more. He's really putting MMA on the map in a big way, and he's got to stop the craziness.
So just so we're clear, it would be absolutely positively crazy if he were to ever face Floyd Mayweather.
It'd be just ridiculous. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard as far as a possible battle. To such a point, I stake my reputation on it. That will never, ever happen. There's no way. Only people who don't know fighting could look at it as a possibility, because they really don't realize the magnitude of ridiculousness that would go along with that.
Yeah, I don't want to say it.
It's
stupid.
Just the dumbest thing ever. You know. I mean,
so let me ask you this.
Conor couldn't fight any professional.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Conor's not. I mean, he sparred with like a few pros that are not even in the elite leagues, and he cannot fight with them. Oh, I mean, I trained at Freddie Roach's gym. If he can't fight the average guy in Freddie Roach's gym, he's not going to fight the best skilled boxer who's ever lived.
Yeah, no doubt. It would be.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't be pretty. It might end early too.
Yeah, and it might completely destroy Conor McGregor, who is a really interesting and entertaining light in MMA.
For sure.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Now, we see you each and every Friday on for better or worse. I mean, my wife loves the show. She loves it a lot. Talk about what's going on. We're in season 5, right? What's going on in season 5?
Well, I can't tell you too much. I mean, I think, wait a minute, season five is, I think it's dealing with another romance with the Richard and Jennifer characters. And so, you know, my character, and as well as my wife's character, TV wife's character, we're a bit more like referees lately, you know, kind of corralling our crazy friends. But we have a lot more drama coming at you in the episodes to come. I'll just say that, you know.
Okay.
So you're going to see a lot more Angela and Marcus fireworks.
So let me ask you this. Are we going to see Why Did I Get Married 3? I mean, I liked the first one. I love the second one. Can we get a third one?
Well, that's a Tyler Perry question. That's not a question for me. You know, and Tyler keeps his information close to the vest. You know.
So you have nothing for us. You know anything? No inside knowledge of anything.
No. I mean, that's a Tyler Perry question. You know.
Okay.
I'm not in a position to even speculate on that.
Right, right. But would you be open to something like that?
Of course.
Okay.
That's like working with my friends. That's
all right.
I would pass over a lot of things to be able to do that.
For sure.
That's like a paid vacation for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got Never Back Down, No Surrender out. We got For Better or Worse, we got that flowing as well. What else you got flowing, man? What else is out there for you?
Well, I got a movie called Vigilante Diaries. It's an action movie. Kind of like a little bit Mission Impossible-ish, kind of with a different, you know, espionage, CIA flow. You've got Michael Madsen, Danny Trejo, Paul Sloan. It's a fun movie. It was shot in, different parts of Europe, Armenia, in L.A. So it's a fun movie. That'll be coming out. And then I have a movie with myself and Quentin Jackson. Quentin Rampage Jackson plays my brother. And my real life wife plays my wife in the movie.
Called
Cops and Robbers. Yeah, Cops and Robbers. I'm not sure when it'll be out, but it'll be out this year.
Okay.
So you like working with
your wife?
Oh, I love working with my wife. It makes it easy for me because she's a romantic lead with me, and like what has happened is that there's like. The directors of the movie met her and sees our dynamic, and he wants that for his movie. So he asked if we could bring that to the movie because, hey, for now, it ain't broke, don't fix it. people tend to like to see us together, so to me, it's a no-brainer.
I guess that's a good thing.
I wouldn't mind if
you'd say, you could be nasty with your wife. You could be nasty with your wife, man, and not feel guilty or anything. I mean, that's got to be a great thing.
Well, it ain't no nasty. Some stuff is left personal. That's just private. It ain't going to be too much of that because we got kids, and yeah, it won't be too much of that. But if somebody wants to see, they want to see the chemistry between two people who love the hell out of each other. Well, they get to see that.
Right. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah.
Black love.
Yeah.
Black love. We don't have a lot of that.
Right, right. And then, and I've been, it's the luckiest thing that's ever happened to me. You can take anything from my career or whatever, and it doesn't even come close to what I have, the relationship that I have with my wife. Nothing comes close to that.
For sure. And so, fans, make sure you go to Amazon. Make sure you go somewhere. Make sure you pick up this movie. Make sure you get it. Never Back Down, No Surrender. Also, make sure you hit this man up on Twitter, at Michael Jai White. Also, make sure you hit him up on his website, MichaelJaiWhite.com. Anything else? Any other place?
Well, yeah, it's the official Michael Jai on Instagram.
Okay. All right, so
yeah.
Hit him up there as well. So you got all these places to see this movie. You got all these places to hit this man up. Make sure you do it and make sure you support all the great things going with actor Michael Jai White. Michael, absolute pleasure talking to you, man. Wish you nothing but the best of luck moving forward. We'd love to do it again.
Thank you, man. I look forward to that.
Take care.
You too.